So here is the internet search engine Jeeves. And over the last 10 years, 10 different questions seem to come to the top of the pile. And last summer, if you remember, we found out what they were. And over the course of the last academic year, since September, we've been asking the questions. What's the meaning to life was the first one in September. Is there a God in October? Can't remember November, but do blondes have more fun was December's. Well, no, we didn't tackle that, but we did say do atheists have more fun, and so on. This morning we come to this one, which I have to say I think is one of the more obvious ones. I really can't quite understand why people bother to ask it. Who is the most famous person in the world? And I say it's an obvious one because, well, I've already told you what I'm pretty persuaded of the answer to be. But just at the moment, after Friday, and everything that went on Friday, and you know, the figures around Friday and the wedding and the viewing are really staggering. They reckon 2 billion people watched that wedding service. Well, there's not even quite 6 billion people in the world. So a third of the world's population watched the royal wedding. That's really quite staggering, isn't it? Who do you think is probably, just at the moment, the most famous... Well, the most famous couple in the world has got to be obvious, isn't it? After a third of the world's population watching, I guess you'd have to say that it's the Archbishop of... that it's the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. It's got to be them, hasn't it? Everybody watched it practically. And you can't blame them for being famous. You know, for him, it's an accident of birth. And she loves him. So that's a good thing. But being famous isn't necessarily, I suppose, a bad thing. We tend to think of people being famous as a bad thing, or certainly a bad ambition. But it needn't necessarily be. Some people want to be famous just because they're just to be famous. Other people want to serve, and their jobs mean that they're famous. But it does rather depend on what you mean by famous, doesn't it? You see, if by famous what we mean is that more people know the name of this person than anybody else, then you can only do that by taking a snapshot of history. Today, they are probably the best known married couple in the whole world. Today. But what will it be in 20 years' time, or 30 years' time, or 50 years' time? Let me show you what I mean by taking a snapshot of history. So today it's Prince William and Princess Kate. But I wonder if you ever heard of this man. His name is Robert Gascoigne Cecil, Marquess of Salisbury. Anybody know who he is? Oh, do you really? Sandy, go on. Oh, well done. I think Sandy, that was terrific. That was out of over 100 people, you're the only person that knew that other than me, and I only knew it because I had to look it up. He was the Prime Minister. Actually, he was Prime Minister. Do you know how many times he was Prime Minister? He was Prime Minister 3 times. In fact, he's been one of the longest serving Prime Ministers this country's ever had. Between 1885 and 1902, he actually served for nearly 14 years. The Marquess of Salisbury, at the time, would have been a household name. Everybody would have known him. And across Europe, many people would have known him. But now, bar one person and me, none of you have ever heard of him. Now, what does that tell you about fame? Come further up to date. I wonder if anybody knows who this chap is. Anybody recognize him? Everybody recognizes him. Well, everybody over a certain age recognizes him. How many of the people under 15 know who he is? Under 20? No? Now, isn't that interesting? What does that tell you about fame in our age of Twitter and Facebook? Let me tell you. His name is Field Marshal Montgomery, Viscount... something or other of Alamein, Viscount Montgomery of Alamein. He was a general and ultimately a field marshal in World War II. He would at the time have been a household name. Everybody knew who he was, but now it's gone. Let me bring you a little bit further up to date. I wonder if anybody knows who this chap is. He is famous for Chippenham. Come on, Sim, don't you know who he is? Does anybody know? Peter? Eddie Cochran. Did you recognize or did you guess? Okay, well, his name is Eddie Cochran. He was a pop singer, which is why I'm asking Sim. And he was killed in a car accident on Rowden Hill in Chippenham in 1960. How about these guys? Now, who are they? Does anybody under 20 know who they are? One, two. Anybody under 15 know who they are? Do you know? Go on. Sorry? They're the Beatles. That's exactly right. But not all the hands went up. And yet in the 1960s, well, I'm just looking across the room. Everybody knew who they were, didn't they? Let me bring you one more, just to illustrate the point further. Now, does anybody know who this guy is? Don't just guess, do you know? Does anybody know? Well, let me tell you, in 1969, everybody across the world would have known who he was. His name is Neil Armstrong, and he was the first man on the moon. Only you're used to seeing him with a space helmet on. I suppose that probably makes all the difference. You see, my point, all of these were household names. And for the latter ones, most people would have known their faces, but not anymore. Fame is one of those snapshot things that just goes very, very quickly. Of all of those household names, well, most people don't know anymore. When my parents were young, the great evils and famous people, or maybe infamous people, were Hitler and Stalin. When I was growing up, they were Brezhnev or the IRA. My kids now know that the infamous people are Osama bin Laden. But they ask me who the IRA are. And they wonder what the Berlin Wall was. Fame is the fact is, fame is instant and momentary thing. No sooner are you out of the limelight, then you're not famous anymore. When I was a teenager, there was a TV program imported from the United States entitled Fame. Does anybody remember this? Do you remember how the theme song went? Oh dear. I am not going to sing it to you. But I will tell you, I will read to you what the refrain is. The words of the theme song, actually I think are very helpful for us this morning, trying to get our heads around this subject. The refrain, I'm not going to tell you what the first lines were, they're garbage. But most of it's garbage, but the refrain is quite informative. Remember my name, Fame. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna learn how to fly high. I feel it, that is my life, presumably, coming together. People will see me and cry, Fame. I'm gonna make it to heaven, light up the sky like a flame, Fame. I'm gonna live forever. Baby, remember my name. And then there's eight times it says, remember, 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 remember. Do you notice how the song defines fame? What is fame all about? Fame is all about, I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna reach for the stars, I'm gonna reach up to heaven, and you're gonna remember. See, if we define fame to be measured by how many people have heard of you at any one moment, then I guess there may be lots of people at some point who have been famous, as we've illustrated this morning. I just wandered through the last 150 years or so and picked out a few names. I could have picked out hundreds of names, couldn't I? And some of you would have heard of them, and some of us not. But if we define fame as people who do remember your name and keep on remembering your name and keep on remembering your name from one generation to the other, then actually the list of who counts as famous shrinks considerably, doesn't it? In that case, who have we got? Shakespeare, Napoleon, Winston Churchill. I think it's very common to think of something as famous that other people have forgotten or maybe want to forget. Let me give you an example of what I mean. For people of my generation, Tiananmen Square in Beijing is really, really famous. That's a picture of it. It's been in the news this week. I wonder if you know. What's been in the news this week, actually, is one side of Tiananmen Square, which is the newly refurbished and opened National Museum of China there on Tiananmen Square. It is now said to be the largest museum in the world. If you want to go to the largest museum in the world, you're going to have to go to China. But though there are vast areas of interesting artifacts and lots of information, a BBC reporter in Beijing said that it had very little on the Cultural Revolution in which 10,000 people were killed. And nothing at all on the very incident for which, to my generation, Tiananmen Square is incredibly famous. Nothing at all on the Tiananmen Square massacre. And it happened right outside the front door. Do you see? For someone to be so famous that they can overcome that kind of censorship, how can that be where a whole culture decides they're going to forget something they don't want to remember anymore? In fact, for someone to get to the stage where they survive censorship and everyone knows their name, I guess they need to have affected us in some way. They need to have earned a place in your memory. They need to mean something for your life, or at least for the lives of those around you. Most of us studied Shakespeare at school, didn't we? Yeah? At some point, you're bound to have studied Shakespeare, I guess, if you've been educated in this country. But I have a suspicion that if you go to South America, most people will not have heard of Shakespeare. Is that true? So he's not really that famous for most of the world. You can click. Thank you. All of us in this room, I think, have been affected by the life of Winston Churchill. But I suspect that if you went to the National Museum of China and interviewed the average Chinese tourist who's wandering around, they wouldn't even know the name Winston Churchill. So his fame has not lasted. Well, it's not going to surprise you then, if we're going to define fame in that way, to be known by everybody, to have affected everybody, to have survived censorship, to be known in every culture, there is only one name, actually, that ticks all of those boxes. And that name is Jesus. And if you're going to groan at that point and say, well, he's bound to say that, just think for a moment. Somebody tell me what year we're living in. Well, I'm sorry, I'd have hoped you all know that. Go on, Liz. It's 2011 AD, to give it its correct title. Year of our Lord, Anno Domini, 2011 AD. The whole world dates its existence from when he was born. And if you're still thinking, yes, but where do people know him? The answer to that is that from the jungles of Papua New Guinea to the mountains of Nepal, to the streets of New York, to the frozen wastes of Greenland, his name is known. And not just that, he is worshipped and he is loved. Why anybody would need to ask this question, who's the most famous person in the world, I'm really not sure. Because I think it's obvious. And it is true because of who he is and what he said and what he did. He is God the Son. Just pick up your Bible for a second with me and turn to Luke, will you? I'm going to jump around a bit for the next couple of minutes in the Bible to illustrate the point. Page 722. Here is the account of Jesus' birth. There was lots of prophecy. Luke chapter 1 we're in. There was lots of prophecy foretelling how he would be born and what it would be like and who he would be called. And here we are in Luke chapter 1. And God has sent the angel Gabriel to a little town that most of us had never heard of or would never have heard of had it not been for this incident. A little town called Nazareth in a backwater called Galilee to a descendant of a defunct king. And verse 28 of Luke chapter 1. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary, that was the girl's name, was greatly troubled in his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, his ancestor David. And he will reign over the household of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never end." He is God the Son, whose kingdom will last forever. Now you can say what you like about the rights and wrongs of whether or not people believe that is true. But across the world, billions and billions of people believe that that is true. It may not have escaped your notice, or maybe it did, that that royal wedding on Friday, watched by a third of the world's population, was a Christian wedding. I don't know whether, I mean, obviously there are cultural reasons that that is true. And there were things that were said or not said that infuriated me as a Bible teacher. But I have to say that Jesus was honored. His name was named. And a third of the world's population was watching. He is God the Son. Matthew chapter 7, back in your Bible a few pages. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. Page 686. Jesus has delivered this sermon to crowds of people listening on a mountainside, describing the culture of the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7, "Therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, just remember what he's just said about his words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. His disciples said in John chapter 6, "You have the words of eternal life." What Jesus says lasts, and what Jesus says works. There are reasons why he's famous. He's famous because he died on the cross to rescue those who would trust in him. Turn with me further on in your Bible to John and chapter 3, and to perhaps what is the most famous verse in the Bible, page 750. He is God's King forever. He had words that would last forever. He died on a cross to rescue from God's wrath those who would trust in him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In other words, he will give membership of that kingdom to those who trust in him. No wonder he is famous. And as we saw last week from Luke chapter 24, he didn't stay dead. Easter Sunday is all about the fact he rose again from the dead. Remember the angel's words to the women as they walked into the empty tomb? "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you." Jesus is the most famous person in the world because he is God in the flesh, and he came as a rescuer to bring you and me back into relationship with God. It is obvious. Surely there can be no doubt that Jesus is the most famous person in the world, exactly as he said he would be. Remember, he told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, just flick on in your Bible a few more pages to Acts chapter 1. And verse 6, he rose again from the dead, he appeared to more than 500 people on one occasion,
in those 40 days before he returned to heaven. And verse 6, when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, is the end going to come? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive, verse 8, power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
There will come a time, said Jesus to his disciples, when people in the most remote places in the world will know who I am. And it's happening in front of our very eyes, isn't it? It happened on Friday in front of our eyes. I thought it was remarkable to watch foreign dignitaries, kings and officials from Muslim countries, for example, sitting in Westminster Abbey, dubious as I am about the lack of biblical content for much of what was said. It was remarkable to see them standing there singing, Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. Wasn't that wonderful? People from all over the world hearing that. Jesus is the most famous person, just as he said he would be. But I want to ask another question before we leave this topic of who is the most famous person in the world. And the question I want to ask is, why does anybody ever want to know the answer to a question like that? You see, if fame for most people is only a passing moment, then presumably even for the people who are remembered, people like Churchill and Shakespeare and, I don't know, the Beatles and others, even for the people who are remembered all over the world, then even the people that they are famous to are themselves only just passing. Do you see what I mean? The very humanity that would shout out, you're famous, is itself passing away. Psalm 103 says, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. In other words, even for us who are watching things like the royal wedding and things that are passing, we will not last forever. We will be gone in what seems like a twinkle of an eye. Actually, that again is where knowing Jesus and knowing about him is also very relevant. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah had what I think was one of the hardest jobs in the Bible. He had to speak to God's people who were ignoring and had rejected God. And he had to do so in such a way that they knew why they were being punished and what God's plan was. It was a very hard job because his message was unpopular. Imagine standing in front of a whole culture and saying to a whole culture, this is why this disaster is coming upon you. But in putting the right perspective on what was happening, he had to explain it in the light of what was going to happen. And in chapter 9 of his prophecy, his message to the nation of which he was a part, as a part of that context, the Lord gives him a message to people who are starstruck by the wrong things. Jeremiah chapter 9 is there. I'm going to read that section out. This is what the Lord says. He says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, or you could say the X Factor winner, or whatever it is, boast about that. No. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. In other words, the thing that you should be worrying about in life, the ambition, is not to be famous or not to be well known, or even to know famous people. The thing that you should worry about is whether or not you know God. My invitation to the royal wedding didn't arrive. I don't know them at all, actually. I'm not even sure I know anybody that knows them. I do know Lindy Hope, and she comes from Bucklebury. So, as we heard yesterday in the church day away. So, you can quiz Lindy tomorrow on something about the Middleton family. I guess you've shaken hands with people who've shaken hands with them. Probably. But actually, whether or not I know people who are famous or are famous myself is irrelevant. Listen, says God. Let him who boasts in a life that is fleeting, let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me. And it's that knowing God, you see, that Jesus came to make possible. In fact, in his prayer for us before he went to the cross, he defined true eternal life in the most remarkable way. Jesus said in his prayer, now this is eternal life, that they, that is we, may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You may not know the most famous person our culture defines just at the moment, the Duke and Duchess of Cornwall or whoever else you want to put in that slot. But because of what Christ has done on the cross, it is possible for you to know and be known by him. This morning we've sung his praise, we've spoken to him, and the Bible assures us that he hears us and answers our prayer. In your heart right now, you can speak to him and know that he hears you, and more than that, that he loves you, and actually that he died for you to reconcile you to God, that you might know him and be with him forever. Who is the most famous person in the world? Well, in the terms of our world's culture, you know the truth? I don't really care. But in terms of eternity, Jesus is. And knowing him is what matters. And knowing him is what the gospel is all about. We're going to sing our last hymn together. That puts all of this in perspective. All I once held dear. Let's stand and sing.